This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again on old Dan. Come on, Dan, let's go. Let's get up. We've got to get a getting. Get on down there to the sawmill where folks are standing around, maybe over there at the peach orchard where folks are picking peaches, and standing around taking a break. And the Old Trailblazer have an opportunity to tell them how the Lord saves a sinner. Would you like to hear that, folks, how the Lord saves a sinner? That's what we do day by day. And folks ask me what we preach. We preach Christ. Christ, a living reality. And I asked you, is Christ real to your heart? We have a booklet here by Pastor Shelton, Christ, a Living Reality. I'll send it to you free and postpaid if you'd write me. But we're also looking at the promises of God here, and I made you this offer. We have a book by Brother Herbert Lockyer, All the Promises of God, here in our bookstore. It's $14.50. You write and get it, and if you don't like it or don't appreciate it, write me. Call me. I'll send you money back. No questions asked. But we're looking there now at the city of Jericho. As the spies left that city, they began to realize, the people of Jericho began to realize somehow or another what it was, what they were up against. Because the scripture says there in Joshua 2:9, they were weak as water. This was a mighty fortress. The city was behind mighty walls built to keep out the enemy. And it was a fortress or a metropolis of that whole country. It was like the despot of that country. If you couldn't conquer Jericho, no reason to go any further. But Jericho had to go down before they could conquer the rest of the land. God does not do a thing, my friend, in a haphazard way. He told Joshua how to take that city, and God delights in the men obeying. Listen now, how God delights to show man that he has no strength, no power. Oh, my friend, but listen. I'd like to read the story there where they conquered that land of Canaan. One of the instances that I always look at, how that in one city, they sent the bees. The Lord sent the bees there to run the folks out of that city. But listen. Well, let's get on with our study. And God said to Joshua, now you take this people, you get on the other side, and you take the Ark of the Covenant, carry it by the appointed crowd, you carry it, following it, that by the priest, and march around that city for 6 days. Just march around it and go on back to your camp. Sit down, sing and pray and praise the Lord. Eat supper, dinner, and all of those things. After breakfast next morning, get up, parade around the city again. And I imagine those who didn't have any faith thought, what in the world? What, that's the silliest thing I ever heard of. But listen, I wonder what the folks here think about us. They do. Here we've come from Egypt 40 years, and we've wandered in the wilderness. Here we are, the River Jordan divided. We came over on dry ground. Here we are marching around. There's the Ark of the Covenant. There's the priests with their bugles. Listen, just march plumb around the city. How long it took them that day, I don't know. But it took them several hours, no doubt. Practically nearly all a day. Now, they say, wasn't that so foolish? I imagine they felt like God strained their pride. You know, wonder what in the world he's making us do this for. But God took every bit of their pride that they had away. But Joshua was walking there with a staff in his hand. That's all he had. Isn't that the way it is when sinners come to Christ? The average one, we feel so silly what folks think about me. That's right. Afraid to say, you know, I'm a lost sinner. My friend, and going to talking with an individual, go to bragging on them. Listen, you say, look out, wait a minute, I'm just a lost sinner. You don't know my heart, my friend, or you wouldn't say that. I'm just a wicked sinner. Folks won't believe you when you tell them that you're a nobody. Nobody has a heart like me, you might say. Nobody. Nobody has a heart that's so hard and wicked and vile and corrupt as I stand here in front of you. Listen. And you stand there in the presence of that man again. Maybe he's a big businessman, a fine friend of yours. Maybe educated, highly educated. Then you're standing there and you look silly, don't you? Act silly. Think silly as the world is concerned. You're silly. The world thinks you are when you tell them you're a lost sinner. But that's the thing God does. And that's the thing sinners don't like. And that's the thing that folks don't like about our preaching here or anybody else that's preaching along this line that spirit indicted. I have folks make fun of me when I say that a sinner has to be awakened to his lost condition before he'll ever come to Christ. And that's the truth, my friend. I mentioned last night. One of our brethren brought a message one night, and he used this analogy. He said, if a person gets up in the morning time feeling good, robust, takes in a good fresh air, and sits on the bed, side of the bed, sits on the bed and stretches, he don't get up and go to the doctor. No, he feels good, healthy, no problem. But you let that same individual wake up one morning about 4 o'clock with a hot burning fever and sweat, bed ringing with a sweat, and he waits till daylight maybe and says, Mama, you got to call the doctor. I'm hurting. I've got fever. I've got this. And he gets up and goes to the doctor. That's just so it is with a sinner. As long as you never see yourself, as long as you don't recognize that you're sinful, as long as you don't recognize it, you won't come to the Lord. That's what the Lord has to do. He has to show you your lost condition before you'll ever come to Christ. Now, that's just as true. I stake my eternal destiny on it, my friend. But listen. And here we see how they were marching around that city, and those folks had been destroyed. The Lord destroyed them, let them walk around that city six times. He took every bit of the pride away from them, put them out there just walking around the city. Well, isn't that what the Lord does? For instance, take the mighty giant of the Philistine. Came out there strutting himself one day with his great armor on. He couldn't be captured. He couldn't be killed. And when King Saul asked if anyone would attempt that job to meet his chalice, the shepherd lad, David, came upon the scene to bring his brother something to eat. And look up on that scene. He saw that fellow strutting himself out there, his great armor on, challenging anyone, making fun of the Israelite. And he challenged him. And that he represented the army, he was the sum total of the army. If anyone killed me, that meant the others would surrender. David stood there and looked at him. You ever go back and read that story, my friend? Oh, David stood there and looked at him and went back and said to Saul, I meet him. King Saul said to him, all right, go yonder and get my armor. He went and tried it on. He said, I can't handle that thing. It's too big, too heavy. Oh, that's all in my way. Well, how you going to meet him, David? I'll meet him just like I met the bear and the lion. He walked down there to a little old, with his little old slingshot, picked up 5 smooth stones out of the brook, kept approaching. The giant laughed at him. You coming to meet me like a dog? And that's the way you figure me, a dog? Are you coming to meet me, a dog? Oh, listen, are you coming to meet me like you're going to meet a dog? That's what he keeps saying. Who do you think you are? I'll give your bones to the buzzards. David never opened his mouth. He never said anything back to him. But in the name of Jehovah God, he picked up those smooth stones, laid in that slingshot, laid his eye right up on the forehead, and then gave that thing a whirl, and it went like an arrow. That man tumbled over. God delights in doing things like that, my friend. God delights in doing those things. And I imagine David felt like a fool walking out there to meet that man. No, he had on no armor. He had no sword, or he had nothing. You take the prophet Elijah. God sustained him during the 3.5 years of the famine by a handful of meal over there at the widow's home. Never, never diminished. God delights in doing those things. Take your Bible and read through and let the critics laugh if they want to. Let them scoff if they want to. And I'll tell you one thing. If God would give us people here walking with God, the world could be moved towards God with a people that had faith. God give us. May the Lord give us men and women by faith. That's what we need. That's what we need, my friend. We're so faithless. We're so weak. Now, listen. But they walked around that city by faith. That's all they had. They had no other reason to walk. They didn't have on no armor. They didn't have bow and arrows. They didn't have spears. They were armed with faith. Faith in what? In the Word of God. As we said before, the foundation of faith is God's Word. God said it. God will do it. How did I get to Christ? By faith. Well, you know, Pastor, I've got the hardest heart that I believe a man ever had. Yes. Yes, you have. It's the hardest one you've ever had. Well, I've got the most wicked heart that man ever had. Yes, most wicked heart you've ever had. I can't give myself a new heart. No, I'm going to preach on that before long. I've often done it before. Lord willing, I hope folks will hear it. And if, listen, you feel silly, you feel helpless, you, and I hope you hear me, you feel silly, and listen, you lie down at the feet of Christ, surrender to Him. Maybe you're a learned fella. Maybe you have wealth. Maybe you have prestige. Maybe you have all that you think is necessary, with a name, with a title after it, and DDs and PhDs, and be all those things, refined, the greatest businessman, executive. Then here I am, sitting here, just helpless as water. I'm helpless as a man ever was. But listen, I'm lost and can't get out. That's what you say. I'm wicked. I can't forgive myself. I can't buy a pardon. I can't find one because my heart is hard. I can't soften it. It's corrupt and vile. I can't give myself a new heart. That breaks you at the feet of the Lord, doesn't it? When you see your helplessness, you come there as a hopeless, helpless individual with no hope. No hope. Oh, I know what it is for the Lord to take away all the hope that we have. You know, man by nature, he wants to take care of himself, take care of his trial, take care of his, be a big man. But when the Lord opens that heart and shows you what a wicked sinner you are, you don't have anything, my friend. You see that you have nothing but a wicked heart and a wicked spirit with no hope, with no hope. But I bring you hope at this time. Old Trailblazer never brings a message without holding out hope, just like the king held out the scepter there to Queen Esther. You know that story? You ought to go there and read it. The Jews were going to be, all of them going to be executed. And Mordecai told Esther, she went in to see the king, but she knew that if he didn't hold out the scepter, she would be killed on the spot. Oh, my friend, how fearful she must have been. But by faith, she went in there. She put on her fine clothes and all of those things, and she approached him, and he says, Queen, what would you have me do? And she told him, and her people were saved. My friend, we need to put a broomstick up our backbone and get up off of it and trust the Lord. Are you weak and humble and weak as water and crying, oh, I just don't know. I just don't know if the Lord will save me, Pastor. I have a woman that calls me like that. She can't say two words without going to squalling. Well, come on, sister. Come on, sister. Throw all that away and come on to trust the Lord. Fall down at his feet. Go out there somewhere in the back of the, you know, on the levee or the back of the shed somewhere and say, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. The only prayer you need is, Lord, save me. But the old Trailblazer will be back next day at the same next time. Same time, pick this up to study here. And about the walls of Jericho, we may see them fall down in our next study. But remember, if you would, let me hear from you. Write me, call me, let me know that you're listening. And then help me with the broadcast. And remember the book I offered. All the promises of God go along with these verses here perfectly. And remember my mailing address, the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box, 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And my website, radiomissions.org. Write me and I'll send you a catalog of our bookstore. And you can pick and choose a booklet you'd like to have from there. We'll send them to you. Put them on your credit card, your tithing, your offering on your credit card if you'd like for us to. Goodbye and God bless you.